Church, I'm Shay, and I'm an overcomer. If you don't have a bulletin, Bible, or pen, and you need one of those things, these guys are going through the congregation right now, and just raise your hand, they'll get with you and get that to you. I have been starting every message here recently with a prayer that we pray as a church, and I introduced it last year. It's become quite a tool for me. I see it every morning right when I first get up. I've got it posted. Earlier in this week, there was a couple who came over to the house, and they were struggling with some stuff. And you know, when they come to see me, I'm supposed to have all the answers, right? And I don't. I can answer some things. And some things I got a little bit of knowledge about, but some things I just don't. And when I first stepped into pastoralship and training with John, he told me a long time ago, it's okay to say I don't know. I do not know. And sometimes that is the case. But what I did do is say, listen, here's this prayer. Here's this prayer that I've been praying, especially in spots where I have not a clue what to do. And I do not know what's coming next. And I know that He's going to bless me no matter the outcome. So if you'll pray this prayer with me, it'll be up there on the screen. Jesus, show us what to do. Jesus, prepare us for what is next. Jesus, bless our neighbors as You bless us. Amen. Whew, all right, I feel a little bit better now. We were praying in the cry room there before church service, and Christina had her hand on my chest, and when we got done, she goes, I can feel your heart just pounding. It never stops. It never stops. It's always a rush. You know, with my history, you would think, I'm down for a rush. But, yeah, I'm getting better. I'm getting to where it's okay. So tonight, the title of this message is Easy, Not Easy. And that's what I feel like right now. It's easy, but it's not easy. What we're going to look at tonight is three different scriptures where Jesus made some statements that seem, at first glance, and we've probably heard someone make these statements that Jesus made, and they seem to contradict themselves. If you don't look above and read the scripture, it's some statements that you hear people throw around. But if you look at all three of these different statements at the same time, they really seem to contradict themselves. The first one we're going to look at, if you will turn to Matthew 11:28 through 30. I heard that up here. You need some glasses, don't you? That's why I write it big on my paper here. It's on the board. Okay. All right, Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all of you who are tired and have heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Accept my teachings and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your lives. The burden that I ask you to accept is easy. The load I give you to carry is light. Man, I like that. I love the sound of that. The burden is easy. The load is light. I believe that's a fill in the blank there if you want to do that. The burden is easy. We've all had burdens. We've all had heavy loads, and generally that's probably what drives you towards Jesus, is that burden, that heavy load, that pit that we fall into. That's usually what drives you towards God and drives you towards Jesus. And He says right here, and I'm sure many of us have probably heard that statement, follow Jesus. His load is light. His burden is easy. I've heard that my whole life. Let's look at the other two that I want to look at that seem to contradict that. If you turn to John 15, 18 through 19, and it says, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it will love you as it loves its own. But I have chosen you out of the world, so you don't belong to it. That is why the world hates you. The world will hate you? First he says, follow me. My burden is light. My load is not heavy. It's okay. You're in a bad spot. I got you. Everything's going to be great. And then next you hear, the world's going to hate you. Wait a minute, that's a burden that I already have. So look at one more. John 16, 32 through 33. And this is Jesus talking. He says, listen to me. A time is coming when you will be scattered. This is the people that's following him. You're going to be scattered, each to his own home. That time is now here. You will leave me alone, but I'm never really alone because the Father is with me. I told you these things so that you can have peace in me. In this world, you will have trouble. But be brave, I've defeated the world. In this world, you're going to have trouble. So from what I'm seeing, what I've been told is in Matthew, the burden is easy, the load is light. Then you go look in John, and he says, after that, the world's going to hate you, and you're going to have troubles. Well, is it easy? Is the burden easy? Is the load light? Or am I going to have troubles? Or is people going to hate me? Yes. Yes. The big answer is yes. So let's look at Matthew 11 a little bit closer and see what Jesus was talking about and who he was talking to at the time. Because that makes a big difference. That makes that statement mean something completely else. Something else when you see exactly who Jesus is talking to, and who he is talking to in that scripture is Jewish people that have been trying to follow 613 laws, 613 rules. They've been trying to keep these. I can't even think about it. I break rules on a daily basis. You give me a rule, I'm going to break it. But to try to keep 613 laws that you know, this is the way to salvation. 613 rules to salvation. And this is who he's talking to when he makes this statement. My load is easy. My burden's easy. My load is light. You know, I did a little more research on these laws, and you can read in Leviticus and stuff, and you can see that there's some crazy stuff in there, but I Googled it. You mean crazy Jewish laws? And it seems like they've kind of adapted to the times with some of them. Here's one right here. A hunchback must not bend near a church, even if it hurts. If you're a hunchback and you're near a church, you better not bend towards the church because you're sinning. Here's another one. Check this out. Lice must not be killed on Shabbat. Ooh, I got some lice going on, but you know what? It's Shabbat. I got to wait. Can't go down there and get no red. Here's another one. Hebrew newspapers must not be read on the toilet. But English ones can be. Does that make any sense? Here's one. Here's a good one right here. Jews must not donate organs to a Gentile, but receiving them is allowed. Well, I can't give my organs to someone else, a Gentile, but, oh, wait a minute, I'm dying. I don't care what you are. Give me your organs, right? Here's one for you women. It is permissible to degrade a woman on the kosher bus line. It is permissible to degrade a woman on the kosher bus line. It's permissible. It's permissible. Anyway, I just told you, can you imagine trying to remember some of this crazy stuff? Well, back when Jesus was talking, when he made that statement, he was talking, like I said, to Jewish people he was trying to tell them, follow me, who were trying to keep all these rules. What Jesus was saying is, follow me and follow two rules. Matthew 22:37-40, it says, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first rule one. This is the first and most important command. And the second command is like it. Here comes rule two. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law, all the writings, and all the prophets depend on these two commands. Amen. Just two rules. That's what makes it easy and light. If we can just remember, that's the most important. That's what makes our salvation easy. Now, there's a difference between our salvation. Jesus made it easy for us. There's a difference. The not easy part. Here it comes. In John, he says, the world will hate you. In this world, you'll have trouble. I want to look at those two statements, and I wrote them directly one after the other, one right under the other one. And I noticed it real quick. The common denominator in those two statements, the world. The world will hate you. In this world, you'll have trouble. So that made me think, how does the world manifest in us? Because that's what our real struggle is. That's what our real struggle is this world. Amen. And the things in it. Galatians 5:19 addresses that. 5:19-21, it says, the wrong things the sinful self does are clear. And here's the list. Being sexually unfaithful, not being pure, taking part in sexual sins, worshiping gods, doing witchcraft, hating, making trouble, being jealous, being angry, being selfish, making people angry with each other, causing division among people, feeling envy, being drunk, having wild and wasteful parties, and doing other things like these. I underline doing other things like these. But I can look down that list and go, guilty, 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 did that. I was going over this scripture with Trina, my wife, and I said, I've done all these things. There's still, a good bit of it that still is a problem. And she says, you better let people know that after 19 years of recovery, you're not still doing all that. I'm better than I used to be, but there's still a problem. Amen. I'm still bent towards the world. And I don't want to be, but I am. It's character defects. It said other things like these. You may not have any of those on that list, but what are your character defects? Do you have pride? Ego? Is there any fear? Ooh, I can tell you, fear is a big one. I don't know anybody that can't, well, I'm never afraid. I used to say that. I ain't afraid of nothing. really, I was afraid you was going to think I was afraid. How about this one? Impatience. You know, when I read this, I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, but I don't live like that anymore. But then that end of that scripture says, and other things like these. And it just immediately took me to character defects. How easy is it not to do these things? I'm so bent towards the world. How do I get out of it? We are a people who want solutions. I've always been taught, or I was taught in the beginning of my recovery, if you can't share a solution to your share, then you don't need to be sharing yet. Because all you're doing is throwing up out there and wanting somebody to pick it all up and clean it up for you. So listen until you hear the solution. So on page 62 in the big book, it says, selfishness and self-centeredness that we think is the root of our troubles. In this world, you will have troubles. What a coincidence. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that at some time in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. Here we go again. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. In this world, you will have trouble. I'm causing it myself? That's basically what we just read. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble because you can't get rid of self. You can't get rid of self. In the big book, it says it's almost impossible without the help of God. Amen. First of all, we had to quit blaming God. Here's some more solution. God was going to be our director. He's the principal. We are his agents. He is the father. We are his children. I've done that. I've turned my will, my life over to the care of God. I've done that, but I'm still bent towards sin. I still have troubles. I still have issues. Yes, I know I have my salvation. Amen. There's two rules. I love Jesus and I try to do everything I can to get closer to Him. I love other people and I try to do everything I can to help other people. But I'm still bent towards this world. My thinking goes in places I don't want it to go. It goes in places I know it should not go. Easy, but not easy. We're still digging for some solution here. In the big book, it stated like it's almost impossible without God. I would say it is impossible to get rid of self without God. Absolutely impossible. Even with God, we just get a little bit of grasp. We get just a little bit better. Here's the deal. We are the most important people to ourselves. No, but we are. We're to ourselves. And you may disagree with me. You may sit here and disagree with me. We are the most important people to ourselves. And there's no dancing around it, anything. We have times where we care about other people, but when it comes right down to it, we're selfish and self-centered. And we can get little glimpses of that freedom from that. And I believe that's how we maintain our sobriety, we maintain our connection with God, but I don't ever believe we'll fully be rid of self. More solution. Romans 7, 21 through 25. And I love how this scripture starts out. So I have learned this rule. You know, I didn't even plan that. I looked at it, I'm like, okay, well, here we go. Here's another rule. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. In my mind, I am happy with God's law, but I see another law working in my body, which makes war against the law in my mind that my mind accepts. That other law working in my body is the law of sin, and it makes me a prisoner. What a miserable man I am. Who will save me from this body that brings me death? I thank God for saving me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There's the solution. There is the solution. We're going to fight this the rest of our lives. But a closer connection with Jesus is that solution. That closer connection with Jesus makes it easier to bear. It makes that load lighter. One of these days, we'll be free from it all. Amen. One of these days, but it won't be in this world. It won't be in this world. I often say, if we were able to live up to the standards God wants us to live up to, like, you're able to do it, there would have been absolutely no reason for Jesus to ever show up here. None. God knew that there's no way that we're ever going to live up to being righteous enough to go to heaven. We can't. So he sent his son. There would have been absolutely no reason for him to go to the cross if we could. So there's this bar that has been set for us, knowing full well we'll never reach that bar. So he sent his son to die for us. That's the solution. This past week, and I mentioned the only way we can do this in this world is with Jesus and other people. How many of us tried to do this alone? Failed miserably. You have to have other people. Being alone is what drove me into recovery. I got to a place where nobody even wanted to have anything to do with me. And I was utterly alone, and I found a group of people that picked me up, showed me a new way of life. This past week or so, I don't know if y'all have been noticing, if you have social media, I don't see how you could miss it, but these revivals that have been popping up on different college campuses. And it started in Aylesbury, I think it's how you say it, Aylesbury. They were having chapel like they normally do. It's a Christian college, and part of the requirements of going there is everyone goes to chapel a couple times a week, and it never stopped. It went on for 12 days straight, and I still think they're still doing it now, but they've had to disperse the crowds because the city couldn't handle it. There were so many people coming to this. And so they limited it to ages 25 and under there on the college campus. I have a friend that is a pastor, and he drove there with some people, and he got in on the tail end of it. And I've seen some of his videos of it and stuff. Pretty amazing. But what has happened is this revival is popping up in other college campuses. I think Texas Tech is having one now that just won't stop. Last Sunday, I went to a church service that there was no dismissal time. There was no dismissal time. We did praise and worship, and a guy got up and read some scripture, and we prayed together. And I know that I finally left, and it was 45 minutes to an hour later than I would have normally left, and there was still 200 people there. There was no dismissal time. When I think about those things, you think, well, you got to have a big gathering. You got to have a gathering to have a revival. I want to tell you that the revival starts right here. Amen. You can have I've been having a revival this past week. I went and saw Jesus Revolution last night, and I got so fired up, man. And I knew it was just adding on to what I've been experiencing all week long. Jesus has been alive in me this week. I talked about several months ago about the disciples, and they were on the boat with Jesus, and the storm came up, and Jesus was under the bow of the boat sleeping on a pillow, and they got all afraid and they got all scared and everything. And people talked about, you know, well, they had Jesus on the boat. Why were they afraid? Well, they were in the middle of a storm. That's why they were afraid. The one thing they did right, is go wake him up. I'm asking you to wake Jesus up. He's in you. He is in you. Start the revival here. This is where it starts. We think, oh, we got to have a three-night meeting and praise and worship and everything. That's great. But that won't happen if the revival hadn't started in you. Amen. It has to start with you. How many of you talk about Jesus to other people during the week? How many of you invite someone to come to church with you? Dude, I do it every week. I ask people to come with me. Sometimes it's a little scary. It's a little bit scary. You don't know how you're going to be met. But that's okay. Doing these things and getting that Jesus revival in you is how you overcome the world. That's how those things, that list of things, those list of character defects, that's how they're removed. Jesus revival in you. For the next few minutes, and I've done this here before, and y'all participated, and it was a good deal. And Logan said, man, we need to do more of that. And it's been a while. I'm going to ask you guys to pray together tonight. Yeah, come on up. I want y'all to recognize Hayden and Jay. They came here and filling in for Jonah. Really good guys. These guys are gonna play some music, and it's just background stuff. But I want you to stand up. Stand up. Grab somebody. Grab some people. You can go in the back of the church. You can go here to the side. Grab some folks together. Randy, don't be left alone there. You find some people to be with. Circle up, and I'm asking each person in the group to pray. And here's the deal. God rocks as a prayer. If you're afraid to say a whole lot of whatever out loud and afraid to pray in public in front of people, that's okay. God rocks. That's a prayer of praise. But ask Jesus to wake up. Ask him to wake up in you. Pray for our church. Pray for the church as a whole. Not just this church. Pray for the church as a whole. Pray for each other. Pray for a closer relationship with Jesus. Pray for protection from the world. Give thanks for protection, because you ask and you will receive. Give thanks for others. Give thanks for our church. And give thanks for the church as a whole. Give thanks for Jesus and our salvation. Acts 2:38 says, believe and be baptized in the name of Jesus. If you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I ask that you do that. Just ask Him into your heart. If you've done that and you haven't taken that step towards baptism, please come talk to me. We can make that happen. Wake up the Jesus in you. There's a Jesus revival right here in your heart.